It began in the Army National Guard in 2005. That component of the Army was in the midst of a recruiting crisis, shorthanded by almost 17,000 soldiers during the most intense period of the Iraq War. Millions of dollars in new spending on traditional marketing campaigns wasn't working, so Guard officials decided to try something new. In what was essentially a refer-a-friend program, drilling guardsmen could get payments of between $2,000 and $7,500 if they successfully convinced someone they knew to join the Guard. The program, called the Guard Reserve Assistant Program, or GRAP, worked just as the designers had hoped, bringing in 130,000 new soldiers. The Army Guard started meeting its recruiting goals soon thereafter, and between 2005 and 2012, about 38% of new guardsmen were brought in through the GRAP program. But the Army says GRAP was also rife with fraud that went largely undetected for 6 years. It's now the subject of one of the largest investigations in the history of the Army Criminal Investigation Command, and officials think it will be another 2 years before they understand the full extent of the criminal activity. Lieutenant General William Grizzoli is director of the Army staff.
The scope of the recruiting assistant program investigations is complex and far-reaching. The Army has taken aggressive and comprehensive steps leading to corrective actions to prevent future occurrences and is committed to working with Congress as we move forward in this matter. The Army will also identify and take action against individuals who should be held accountable. I am confident the end result will be substantially improved recruiting and contracting processes in the National Guard Bureau and the entire United States Army.
In the worst-case scenario, up to $100 million of the $339 million in payments the Army made under the GRAP program, as well as similar programs in the active Army and Army Reserve, were fraudulent. Officials currently believe a figure of about $50 billion is more likely, though. The RAP programs operated under the radar of Army investigators from 2005 to 2010. CID had been seeing a few cases of fraud per year, but it wasn't until 2010 that an agent in Huntsville, Alabama, began to notice trends that might point to a systemic problem. A full review by the Army Audit Agency in 2012 showed that was indeed the case, and Army Secretary John McHugh canceled the program outright and ordered a full investigation. Auditors found several potential ways for guardsmen to get bogus incentive payments. In many cases, they registered as recruiter assistants and then submitted the names and social security numbers of guardsmen who had already enlisted without their knowledge in order to get the payments. In essence, a form of identity theft. And in the majority of cases, actual Army Guard recruiters were in on the schemes, says Major General David Quantock, the commander of Army Criminal Investigation Command.
And that's the second type where the recruiter's assistants were in cahoots with a recruiter. And we could tell that because many of the, when they went online to put their names in the system, all had the same IP address. So this is not, so they either had the high IP address or they had many people using the same account information to put the money into. So that's why you can quickly vet through the low and the medium and the high risk.
Some of those fraudulent RAs were extremely prolific. The top recipient of payments took in more than $274,000. That person is currently being prosecuted. But investigators have found four others who got at least $100,000 each. And one group of recruiters and RAs working together collectively pocketed nearly $1 million. And investigators say they've also implicated numerous members of the Army's officer corps, including very senior officers. Of 7,600 officers it reviewed, CID says it identified 110 so far who it believes committed a crime in the RAP case, and hundreds more are still under investigation. The highest-ranking officer implicated so far is a two-star general. In congressional testimony, Quantock wasn't able to say whether any of those officers have been criminally prosecuted so far. He says the Army is treating the officer cases as a first priority, but it's been difficult so far to convince U.S. attorneys to prosecute individual cases that amount to a few thousand dollars of fraud.
Although to us, it's abhorrent. To the Congress, it's abhorrent for senior misconduct, but for many assistant U.S. attorneys, it's more dollar value and bang for your buck than it is on actually who commits the offense.
Senator Claire McCaskill, the chairwoman of the Senate Subcommittee on Contracting and Financial Oversight and a former prosecutor, says she understands that reluctance.
On the other hand, the worst thing that could happen would be for senior leadership to go quietly into the night. And that's why I want to know, what tools do you have to make sure that everyone understands that there was punishment here? I mean, even if they're not going to prison, even if this criminal statute of limitations have run, I need to know what else you can do.
Well, there are, of course, many administrative tools in the Secretary's kit bag, to include promotion review boards. at the very end of this chain to see if did they serve at that particular last rank honorably, and it may impact, for example, what you talked about, future retirement benefits.
While Army auditors exposed the likelihood of thousands of fraudulent incentive payments, they also showed that the RAP program's design made things extremely easy for would-be criminals. Army officials say the program was built on a fundamentally flawed acquisition strategy that included very little oversight or internal controls to detect fraud in real time. Joseph Bentz, the Army's principal deputy auditor general, says there was very little about the program that complied with federal procurement regulations.
There were actually three contracts associated with the RAP. Initially, the first Guard RAP contract was a task order placed off an existing marketing services contract, so outside the scope of that contract. As they moved forward, there was little acquisition planning, as referred to. In the award of the GRAP base contract in 2007, there were processes that favored the incumbent contractor, did not actually account for full and open competition in that award.
Ben says his office also found that the National Guard Bureau built the program on a shoddy legal foundation. At some key milestones, he says it's not clear whether program officials sought legal advice, and in others, it was incomplete. In any case, auditors ultimately concluded that since Congress never gave the Army explicit permission to make the additional incentive payments, most, if not all, of the GRAP program spending most likely violated the Anti-Deficiency Act. Army officials say they've taken several corrective actions since they quietly killed the RAP program in 2012, including replacing the National Guard Bureau's contracting chief, issuing a new National Guard contracting manual, and launching several policy reviews. But the underlying criminal investigation remains a massive chore for the Army. CID has dedicated a task force of 60 investigators to work the case full-time. Their task is to examine every one of the 106,000 people who got payments under the system. Officials estimate that job will be done sometime during 2016. In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.